You want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll speak this morning on expecting God's strength in weakness. Praise your name, Father. We read from verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, from verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take no pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless his word to us today. What an incredible verse of scripture. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord, that you encourage us so much by your word. Lord, I'm just so grateful for your word today. And Lord, I'm sure, Lord, as we come today, Lord, every one of us is grateful for your word, which is truth, which is life, which is powerful, which is fruitful in our lives. And we pray, Lord, as your word just comes forth into our hearts today, Holy Spirit, speak it with faith, Lord. Speak it with power, Lord. Speak it with your authority, I pray. Lord, into every single one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, Paul at this time was struggling. This Apostle Paul was struggling. I'm sure every single one of us goes through life at some point in our life, if not now, with times where we will struggle. We will face difficulties. We will face challenges. But just before this passage, we read here, Paul talks about a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, whether out the body, I do know, such one was caught up in the third heaven. And he talks about this revelation this man had spoke, had received from God. And it was such a revelation, he said, that it was not lawful for me to declare. And I believe this man he's talking about is talking about himself. Many commentators would agree that this was Paul himself speaking in this, as he speaks almost in the third person, he's speaking as a separate person, but he's speaking about himself. And he goes on about not boasting in the revelations that God was given to him. He was a man who had seen people raised from the dead, who was declaring thousands would get saved, villages, communities would turn to Christ, revival was breaking out. It was a man who'd faced death himself many times, and also himself had been raised from the dead. But he's also a man who received great, great, deep revelation from God. That's why we have the scriptures today, as the Spirit spoke to Paul. He spoke through Paul, and he wrote them down for us. And he received so much, but he said, and all this, he said, I don't want to boast in this. And all that God was doing in his life, when God begins to raise men and women up, the danger is that he raises them up, but we get raised up with him, in the sense that we get to a place where we get proud and arrogant. And we think, look at me, I'm the man of the hour, I'm God's man at this time. And God, at this moment, we can see here that Paul was saying, I don't want to be boasting in myself what God is doing. I want to boast in Christ. And God wanted to keep Paul in a place of weakness so he can continue to use him. You know, and God begins to use us in our life. He wants to keep us in a place of weakness. And Paul, and this time it says, he said that a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I be exalted above measure. He saw a difficulty, a challenge coming against him. And he, like many of us here today, when we have challenges come against him, Paul, in the same place, he began to pray, God, take it away from me. It may be, you know, in our own life, we may have different challenges, maybe challenges in relationship, challenges, maybe feel attacks of the enemy coming against us, maybe in health, maybe in areas of uncertain of what God is doing next in our life, where God is leading us. There's challenges that we face. Some can be very difficult challenges in our life. But we will probably pray like Paul did. God, take it away from me. God, remove this from me. And sometimes we think, God, if you removed it from me, maybe my life would be a lot easier. Maybe challenges of debt. God, if you just blessed me with lots of money, then I could do so much more for you. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, if I was much more healthier and stronger, then surely I could do so much more for you. God, if I had so much more of an education and so much knowledge of you and had so much more awareness of what you're teaching, maybe I could do more for you. And maybe some of these things are true. But nonetheless, I believe that God would have us be in a place of weakness where we become utterly dependent upon Him. So all the glory goes back to Him, not unto us. And when we are weak, as Paul said, then I am strong in a place of weakness. So I want you to encourage us this morning that we'd begin to glory in our weaknesses. And I'm sure we all have them in our lives. You know, one of my weaknesses is my scattiness. And I'm sure it really frustrates Rachel at times. And sometimes it frustrates me. Yet, but God, I'm sure even in that, He can use. What are your weaknesses that you have in your life? What are the struggles maybe and the challenges that you're facing right now? Because I believe that God's grace is sufficient even in that moment in your life, wherever you are. It's of course His glory and His power to shine in a greater way. But Paul says there, I had a thorn in my flesh. Now, we don't really know what that thorn in the flesh was. We could speculate, you know, whether that's someone in the church who was causing problems in the church, whether that was someone around Paul in his ministry that was affecting him, whether that was some physical sickness that he was facing. And it wasn't like the little thorns, the way I used to look at it, was a little thorn that you get on a rose and we prick ourselves. The thorn here in the Bible is talking about a tent stake. He's talking about a huge thorn that was causing agonizing, intense pain upon his life. It was a strong irritant upon his life. It was having an effect upon him in a great way. He also said, Satan came to buffer me. And I thought, that's an interesting word, buffer. And I looked it up in the Greek and literally means to pound. It felt like he was being beaten up by Satan himself. That it was black and blue and his bruise. Not just one blow to the face. It was again and again and again. He felt he was being beaten. He felt weak in a place of vulnerability and weakness. And I tell you, sometimes it can feel like that in the Christian walk as Christians. We know it is not a bed of roses. We know that everything is not airy-fairy. But as Christians, when we walk, and I felt God speaking to me through the prayer meetings this week, again and again, saying, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're praying in a battle. And He said to me, wherever you go, Adam, try and take your sword with you. Take the word of God, not just within you, but take it with us. You know, none of us would go out to battle without our swords. You know, we'd just be holding up our shield of faith and hopefully defending ourselves. And I felt the Lord say, you know, we need to wield that sword and begin to take off the enemy's head at times. You know, I'm going to encourage us when we come together, you know, bring your word. You know, and I know some of you have it on your iPads or your phones, but bring it. Have your sword, have your weaponry ready. And mine's got a bit bigger. I was given this Bible recently and I'm really blessed with it, but it's got a bit bigger. But it's not the size of your Bible, is it? It's the size of the God, of His Word, and the Spirit of God that is working in you. And there's no point in having it there if we're not sharpening it daily and reading it daily. I'm coming off in a tangent here. Let's get back to what God is saying. He said, my grace is sufficient. He said that came to buffer me. He felt beaten and in place of vulnerability, a place of weakness. He said, I prayed three times. Now, he may have prayed three times. He may have prayed once. Nothing happened. Prayed again. Nothing happened. But it's almost in the tense of the Greek. It's almost that it was continuous. But the three times he prayed, the first time is saying, God, I want you to take it away from me. And God didn't do it. The second time he prayed, he might have been saying, well, maybe this is attack of the enemy. Maybe I need to press in a bit deeper. And God didn't take away. The third time it came to a place of almost saying, okay, God, if it's not gone, I know you can do it. I know it's your will. He believed God's will. He believes God's purpose. But it's not gone. He had faith to believe it. So God, in the midst of this struggle and this weakness in my life, turn it around for your glory. Use it in me. Let your grace be sufficient in my life enough that your strength to be working in my weakness. He saw it as an opportunity for God to move even greater. He wasn't going to give the devil any more glory or any more power this time. It was all going to go to God, even in his weakness. I want to encourage you this morning, in your weakness, in your struggles, let's not get to the place of the pity party of why, Lord, why me? Why is this happening? Why haven't you taken it away? Let's begin to get the perspective of God's Spirit and saying, God, it's not gone yet. It's still there. But while it's there, Father, use it for your glory. Let your power be working in my weakness. All the way through the Bible, God uses weak men for his glory. Jeremiah, I'm just a man, a young man. You know, what have I got to say? What have I got to offer? I've got very little experience. And God said to him, I've chosen you, Jeremiah. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. I'm going to use you to uproot and pull down. I'm going to use you, Jeremiah, in his weakness. Gideon, I'm the weakest of the clan. I'm just the weakest in my family. And God says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. Go in the strength you have. Moses, he said, I can't speak. Maybe he had a stammer. Some indicate that he may have had a stammer. But yet he was called to lead a great nation. And his weakness, God used him. David, just a shepherd boy, fielding out in the field. He was the neglected one. He was the forgotten one. He was the youngest in the family. He wasn't the one even considered. Yet God was drawn to David's heart. You know, the weakest. Maybe you're sitting here today and you think, I've got very little to offer. I feel like I'm the weakest in the church. I feel like I'm the quietest, the shyest. I feel like I'm the oldest or I'm the youngest. And we have all these things about what the weakness is. Have you thought that God wants to use your weakness for his power to be shown in your life? Praise God. This is the God that we have. He chose these fishermen. You mean these are uneducated men, who worked out every day, day and night. Day and night they worked in the fishing. And he chose these men, uneducated men, to change a nation, these weak men. That's why I believe Peter could say, God's grace. And he said he gives grace to the humble because he knew the power of humility. He knew the power of walking in his weakness and trusting in God. And God would encourage us today, I really believe would encourage us to take a hold and think about where the weakness is in our life that his strength can be made perfect in. His strength can be made perfect in weakness. And the story in 1 Samuel chapter to 30, we have David. He comes back from battling in the field. And he comes back to Ziklag, I think that's how you say it, and that was given to him. And he comes back, and as they're approaching Ziklag, he sees the whole village on fire. And just think, this is where the wives and the children were. And he got back to Ziklag. And when he arrived, he said that all the children and all the wives were all taken, and their village was on fire. Imagine you'd gone away for a few days and come back and found Rotherham on fire. Imagine you come back to your household and you found that maybe your family weren't there. They've been taken from you. How would you feel? I mean, they said they got back and they wept and they cried and they cried out in agony in their hearts because of the loss that they had when they got to their village. David was in a very vulnerable state right there. And he was the leader. And he come back into this place. And he said, then it goes on to say, you can read about it, 1 Samuel chapter 30, you want to read about it. And it goes on to say, then the people, they began to get angry and they put the blame on David and they wanted to stone him. And David began to hear messages of people talking about him and saying, we got to stone him. They wanted to kill David because he's the one that took them away from their families. And David in this place, do you realize what David did in this time? Let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. In weakness, in brokenness, in anguish, in loss, he said he strengthened himself in the Lord. Friends, I want to tell you today that God wants to strengthen you. I'm preaching this message today because I just kept seeing this word strengthened over this church. God wants to strengthen us in our weakness. He wants to use our weakness for his glory. He doesn't want us to come up with excuses week after week, excuses of why we cannot serve him, why we cannot step out in him, why we cannot trust him. But he wants us to try and trust in him, in his strength and his power. David strengthened himself in the Lord. In other words, he went straight to God in prayer and began to look at God's perspective on this situation. He said, God, what do you want to do? He began to pray. And God said, go and after them and recover all. Hallelujah. I mean, at that time moment, I would probably just want to curl up in bed and just sulk and feel sorry. I don't know what I'd want to do in that time. Maybe I'll just run out and just cry and think of all the, I don't know. I mean, just you can't think. But David, he strengthened himself in the Lord and he sought God, what do we do? What do we do? That's where prayer comes in our life. Let's be a people of prayer and continue to pray. What do we do? Trusted in God. I'm pretty sure that every one of us has a weakness, and if we don't have it, then it will come at some point in life when God will bring us to realize where when it's there. And God will allow us to have a weakness in our life, so we do trust in Him. So we do lean on Him. And the picture, one of the pictures that I had of weakness was in Jacob. We looked at Jacob a few weeks ago, and the story goes, and we read of Jacob that he wrestled with God. And while he was wrestling with God, he was determined. He was persevering. He was ready. He didn't want to let go until God had blessed him. And he wrestled with God, and then it says that God just wrenched his hip, and he knocked his socket out of joint. So Jacob, from that moment on, he would have walked with a limp, and he would have walked with weakness. And it says, as he came towards the end of his life, and Hebrews 11, verse 21, says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. You know, that staff in the Bible, I've been thinking about that a lot of recently as well. You know, a staff represented a lot of the shepherds in the Bible. When we read Moses had a staff, and then Aaron had a staff, and it represented the power of God. In so many instances, it represented Jesus in our lives. And he said that at the end of his life, he worshipped God leaning on his staff. He'd learned to lean on his weakness as he walked around everywhere. That staff was keeping him walking. In that limp when he had, that staff was holding his leg up when he was weak. He'd learned to lean. He was grateful for that staff. It was keeping him going. And some of you, maybe you have walking sticks, or you may have things that you use, and you're probably grateful to have that because it helps you. And as he leant on that staff, he put his weight on that staff. He's trusting. He's trusting. He'd learned to trust in God. God wants us to lean upon him in our weakness. When you're weak, lean upon God. Lean upon him. Paul had to lean upon the grace of God. He said, your grace, your unmerited favor, your power to sustain me in my weakness is sufficient. When he says it's sufficient, he doesn't say it's less than enough. He said it's sufficient. It's just enough. It is exactly what I need in life. Hallelujah. You know, there is no excuse. God has given you everything you need in Christ Jesus as Christians to live this life. Our problem is that we don't take hold of that, and we don't lean on it, and we want to lean on our own strength and our own purposes and our own pride and our own abilities. And Paul learned, said, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is enough. Some of us need to hear that this morning, that God's grace is enough. It's sufficient. His grace is not just something that covers sin, but his grace is the power to overcome sin in your life. His grace is the power in your life to live for him. That's why he said, your grace is sufficient. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. It says in Proverbs, and you know this passage, it's one of those life scriptures, one that I had in my baptism, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Another one, trust in the Lord with some, all of your heart. Just think of that word leaning again, okay? Trust in the Lord. To trust is to lean on God. To put your faith in God is to lean on him, is to put your weight on him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not in your own understanding, but acknowledge him. That's the seeing, Ruth, isn't it? The seeing God in everything. Acknowledge him in everything you do. And he will, what's God been saying to us this morning? Direct your path. So giving him God 100%. Leaning on him 100%. Not just a little bit, but leaning on God. Let's not lean on the things of this world. Let's not put your trust. Or don't lean on the things of this government. Don't lean on doctors. Don't lean on the dentist. Don't lean on the bank system. Don't lean on the governmental systems around us and in Parliament, the decisions that are being made. Don't lean on the schools and how they're working. Yes, there is an element that we do have a trust in them, but our trust is not in them. It's in Jesus Christ as Christians. Because all these things, the Bible says that everything's going to be shaking in this world. But what will remain is the kingdom of God. That is why as Christians we put our faith and we lean upon Him. And people look at your life and they think, wonder, how are you still standing when everything else is falling around us? Because we're trusting on Jesus Christ. On the solid rock that we stand. Because all other ground is sinking sand. Lean on Him. Lean on Jesus. Lean on Him. Lean on Him in your weakness. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Well, God's going to say that for a reason. He's not going to say, "Fear not if they're not afraid." He's not going to say, "Don't be dismayed if they're not dismayed." He says, "Don't be." Why? Because I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, we can't stand, our knees are knocking and we're trembling and we think, "I can't keep going anymore. I've done everything I can to stand and I feel I just want to crumble." God's saying, "I'm upholding you. I'm the one who's holding you with my righteous right hand." Who's the right hand? The right hand is Jesus. The right hand of God. I will uphold you. In your faith today, your faith is still strong today because Jesus Christ is upholding you. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, in Isaiah 40, it also says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." Hallelujah. So him who has no might, he increases strength. And it's not just your strength, because I love it. And it says in Isaiah, it says, "Those who wait in the Lord, and they will run and not get weary, they'll walk and not faint." And it says, "He will renew their strength." That word "renew" isn't a case of that's your strength, that God gives you a dose of caffeine or some energy drink. It's not about the earthly strength. What it is, God's saying, "I'm going to replace your strength with my strength. It's going to be my power at work in your weakness. It's going to be my glory working through you. It's going to be Jesus working in your life and in areas where you cannot work in." So when we are weak, then that's where God can really begin to move in our lives. So actually, that's why Paul says, "I'd rather be weak than strong." He'd learned something in his weakness, because when I am weak, actually God's working in my life. So Lord, let us be weak. Let me close with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just look at your own calling, believers. This is from the Amplified Version. "Not many of you were considered wise according to human standards. Not many powerful or influential. Not many of high or noble birth. But God has selected for His purpose, not for ours, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Revealing the ignorance that God has selected for His purpose, the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong, revealing their frailty. God has selected for His purpose the insignificant, the base things of this world, and the things that are despised and treated with contempt." And maybe you feel like that at times. "Even the things that are nothing, so that He might reduce to nothing the things that are, so that no one may be able to boast in the presence of God. But it is from Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom from God, revealing His plan of salvation and righteousness, making us acceptable to God and sanctification, making us holy and set apart for God and redemption, providing our ransom from the penalty of sin, so that as it is written in Scripture, 'He who boasts and glorifies, let him boast and glory in the Lord.'" Hallelujah. Are you weak this morning? Praise God. Because in your weakness, He can be strong. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says the thing that separates us from God is sin. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. And one of the greatest sins that God hates is pride. And pride, it rejects weakness. It says, I can do it. Pride says, I don't need God. Pride says, I can get through this on my own. And that's why God hates it, because God doesn't want us to walk through life on our own. That's why he sent Jesus. When we reject Jesus, we're rejecting God's very source for our life. Not just for help on this earth, but for salvation, for eternity. I believe the call of God upon every one of us today is don't reject Jesus. Not just for strength for your life, but for salvation. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. None of us can be saved. None of us, all of us fall short. But it's the grace that God has lavished on us through his Son Jesus that we can receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And this morning, if you're walking through life and you're saying, I don't need Jesus, then I want to just pray that you turn your heart around today. Maybe you can make that decision and say, yes, I need you, Jesus. I need your strength. I need your saving power. I need you in my life. I need your governing. I need you to lead me. I need you to be Lord and King. And if that's you today, I want to give you that opportunity. If you want to know Jesus in your life and walk in with him, you're prepared to lay down your pride, then I just want you to indicate that just by raising your hand and saying, I want Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus to save me, if that's you here.